If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 is where I'm going to be speaking from today. And the title of the message is, Jesus is the same forever. So, I want to ask this question of you this morning. You can raise your hands if you want to. Some of you don't like to raise your hands, and that's totally fine because I'm kind of a guy that's like, you're not going to get me to do anything, so that's fine. But if you want to, I'm willing to give a little informal poll here. How many of you like where your furniture is placed, and why would you ever move your furniture in your house? How many of you, that would be you? Just leave it there, okay? How many of you are like, let's, you know, it's December, so let's change the furniture around just for fun. How many of you like that? Okay, yeah. How many of you every day or wherever you go, you drive the same route, you never change. You are always in the same lane with the same. How many of you like to go different? Oh, let's go this way a little bit. Okay, that's good. How many of you change your toothbrush every month? You do, Ethan? You're the only one, dude. No, your dad does too? And your mom? Personal, how many of you are like, that's a good reminder, Pastor Steve. I probably should go home and change my toothbrush. I have never done that. You should do that. I don't know, every month. How many of you like to eat different foods? Give it to me, something different. This is wonderful, and I have no clue what's in it, but let's just eat it. How many of you are like, give me meat and potatoes. I know what's there, and praise God for that. I've got to give an amen to that one. How many of you have tried a new hairdo recently? Okay, hold on just a sec. Yeah, Bruce, you haven't. No. Yeah, how many of you have tried a new hairdo recently? How many of you are like, why? Just do the same thing every time. Some of you are like, I can't do anything different. How many of you like changing of the seasons? You like seasons that come and go. How many of you are like, give me summer, give me winter, give me whatever season it is, and just let me stay. Okay. Angela, what? Summer. Do I have any of those all summer people? I know one in my family. There's one over here. Manel loves the summer. Some of us like change. Some of us resist change. Some of you that are in this room that are a little older, you resist change probably even a little more. Well, I don't know about that new worship chorus. That new worship chorus just isn't the same as How Great Thou Art. How come we didn't sing that this morning? Amen. Some of us adapt very well. Some of you are like chameleons. Wherever you're at, you adapt to the situation. Some of you, you can tell when they're out of place, and that's just really you can tell. There's some of you that are like that. Some of the changes great at your core. Some of you are going through some changes even now in your life. You're like, this is tough. Others of you are like, wow, what a great opportunity. You know what's fun is in our families, in our marriages, if you're married, does that happen sometimes? The one's like, let's change the furniture. Why would we ever do that? And then those two come together and wow, that's kind of fun, isn't it? Supposed to be an amen on that one too. We are in the midst of holiday things and several of you have traditions. And some of you are like, we will do this on December 24. Some of you might be a little out of kilter because in recent days, we've had a service on Christmas Eve at 4 o'clock and at 6 o'clock. And because we're having one at 10 and at 4, you're like, what are we going to do? This is going to mess up our Christmas Eve. How are we going to make this happen? Others of you are like, who cares? We'll make it work. Today, I want to talk to you about someone who does not change. Someone who is constant. Someone who is always there. That person is Jesus Christ. Now, I know in preaching this message, there are many of you who are like, yeah, okay, But I want to point out, and I want to actually challenge some of your thoughts, because there may be some individuals around you that don't necessarily agree with that. Who is the constant in your life? And would you be willing to think on him today who does not change? And I believe that in preaching this message today, there are several of you that are going through some changes that will just help you to focus on Christ today. Join me in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to start at verse 8, and then I'm going to read through verse 16. If you have a Bible in front of you in a rack underneath a chair, it's on page 1009. Maybe you brought your Bible today, and maybe there's something that you even want to underline. If you're an underlining person, I would underline verse 8 myself. Well, I did underline verse 8 actually in my Bible, and you may want to do the same. Here's what it says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The first point, which I'm going to spend a lot of time on here this morning, Jesus does not change. Now, some of you are like, well, I'm going to use this phrase, Jesus, and I'm going to use God. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all one, so I'm going to use this term, and it's going to intersect with one another. I want to wrestle with this for a little bit, and you may think this is a theological conundrum, but there's a theological concept here from the scripture that you've got to grab a hold of. Now, some of you in the room are just, you know what, I'm simple. I just believe in God, and so you don't wrestle through some of these things. But I believe there's many people who wrestle through this concept. Does God change? Does he not? Here's why. If God cannot be changed, then are we just robots fulfilling his commands? Well, God can't change, so I'm just kind of doing whatever he wants me to do. Yes, I'll do this, okay? And I really don't have a choice in it. If God can change, then I hope that I can gain his favor to my liking and getting to change on my behalf. If God can change, oh man, I'll buddy up to him and here we go. He's going to do this. If God cannot be changed, why should I pray? It's a great question. It's one you should ask around your table or around your Sunday school class or around wherever you're at later today. If God cannot be changed, then why should I really pray? Because some of us in this room have been praying about a change to happen, but if God never changes his mind, if God never changes, then why am I even praying? I'm just wasting my time to pray. If God can change, then could I be a hinge pin or a major breaker to make this world to turn out much better? If God can change, I'm the guy or you're the gal. You're ready to make it happen. If God cannot be changed, then who really cares? Because there's really no way that anything can happen. God can't change. Nothing's going to change. It's all the same. And so who really cares? Not trying to cause doubts, but I believe you have to have a greater understanding when it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? So there's a couple of concepts. There's a couple of things that back this up. So here's what it is. Actually, there's a word here that I need to get to. There's a theological word, and it's called immutability. Mutability. To say this is to say that God never differs from himself. That's a theological concept. Let me give you some passages of scripture. Numbers 23:19. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? 1 Samuel 15, verse 29. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Malachi 3, verse 16. I, the Lord, do not change. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Psalm 102, verse 27. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. We see this in Scripture. We see this concept saying Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it seems that there's also in Scripture some places where he changes his mind. So what do we do with this? Let me give you a couple of those. First one, Hezekiah. Some of you know the story, some of you don't know the story. Hezekiah is sick, he's not well, and so he prays to God and he says, would you lengthen my life? And so God does. God does this, he gives him a sign and he says, well, what kind of sign do you want me to give you? And so they use the sun. And Hezekiah said, well, let's not move the sun forward 10 steps because that's too easy for things, you know. It's just all of a sudden, the sun moves. Let's move it back 10 steps. And so, did God change his mind? What happened there? Or let me give you another one. There was a guy by the name of Jonah. And he was supposed to go to the city of Nineveh, wasn't he? And he didn't want to, so he didn't. But this is what God told Jonah. I'm going to get rid of that city. And then Jonah went and he's like, repent or you're going to be demolished. And guess what happened? They did that. He was kind of bummed about that, actually, Jonah. If you read that story, if you read that book of the Bible, you notice that he's kind of bummed about it because I think he was ready for God to drop the fire right there. So did God change his mind? In Exodus chapter 32, verse 14, and the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Numbers 14, verse 20, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Now you may say, this doesn't really matter, but I think that is an important theological concept that you have to grab. I believe that we want to depend on someone that doesn't change. If that someone or the standard is always changing, how do we measure up to it? Some of you have had a teacher that is like that, and they're like, well, today you don't need to do that. You can do it this way. Well, how am I supposed to? And then the next day, well, how am I supposed to do that? Or maybe you had a coach. That, you know, you got to run this far at this time, and you're like, you do that, and the next day, well, I'm going to change the rules. And you're like, whoa, how am I supposed to change? Because God never changes. We know where we must go and we must submit and change to his ways. Man is mutable. We are changing. We are ever changing. Now, some of you haven't changed much over the last 40 years, okay? Some of you put on the same shirt. You need to get a new one if you've been wearing it for 40 years, just so you know. But you have put on the same shirt 40 years and you drive the same way and that's just who you are. But here's what happens. This week we might get snow, correct? So that route that you take, it's a little different because there's snow on the road. And with there's snow on the road, it creates a little different challenge for you. Some of you eat the same food every morning for breakfast. Give me my Wheaties and what a wonderful breakfast it is. Or give me my pancakes every morning and what a great morning it is. Right, Hudson? That's a great thing. Have pancakes every morning. But you're still morphing, adapting, and changing to your surroundings. Help me out here this morning. Again, this is a total option for you if you want to do that. I figured that we would have some faces today, okay? So you can look at your neighbor, you can look across the way, but give me a surprised look. Can you give me a surprised look? Good. All right, now give me an angry look. Now don't use that one ever again on a Sunday morning, okay, with me. Give me a happy look. Anybody got a happy look today? Jamie Ellenwood, that's not a happy look. Come on now. Give me a sad look. Give me a sad look. Isn't it interesting, just in that little time, we're able to change. God does not change. I'm glad that we can change. Think on this. Several of you in this room, think of your life 10 years ago and the change that's happened now. Aren't you glad that we can change? Some of you should give a great praise to the Lord there because of what God has brought you through in the last 10 years. Or if you want to say 20 or wherever you want to say, or in the last three. Because we can change, that's a mighty thing. And that's because God stays the same. Jesus doesn't need to change because he is perfect. And here's something. Some of us are like, I don't understand all of this. And here's my opinion on this. Even if you can't understand all of God's thoughts, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's still not true. God is higher than our ways. He is more powerful, and he does not change. Do we understand then if we pray and something works his way? Do we understand why it works that way? No, not exactly. I think there's a theological concept, and some of you are going to wrestle through this. I believe that God knows the future, but yet he gives us the opportunity and the ability to choose what we're doing. Now, some of us wrestle through that to say, well, how does he know the future, and yet we still have a choice? I don't understand that personally, but I believe that I have a choice. I don't think we're just robots. Okay, I just raised my arm there. That was God, and he made me do that, and now I'm putting it down. No, I believe that we have the choice in that. Here's what A.W. Tozer says. We have but to meet his clearly stated terms, bring our lives in accord with his revealed will and his infinite power, will become instantly operative toward us in the manner set forth through the gospel and the scriptures of truth. This is another quote. The fact that God changes his treatment of us in response to our choices has nothing to do with his character. In fact, because God does not change, he must treat the righteous differently from the unrighteous. He is unchanging in his nature, his plan, and his being. And so that's really where it's at. God's nature does not change. Who he is who he is. Things in our life can change, but God does not change. He is the same, and though we don't totally understand this because we can change, he is forever. Now, when the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, I think you know this, but just let me say, yesterday was December 2nd. So was he different on December 1st? No. Yesterday means the time before that, time before today. There's a song written by Henry Francis Light called Abide With Me. Here's one of the verses. It says, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O Lord, who changes not, abide with me. Another quote is this, prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. Lloyd C. Douglas was an author of the book called The Robe, and he was a university student, and he lived in a boarding house, and on the first floor was an elderly retired music teacher who stayed at home. He was unable to leave the apartment, and every morning, Mr. Douglas would go down the steps, he would open the old man's door, and he would say this, well, what's the good news? And the old man would pick up his tuning fork. I have a picture of a tuning fork here, I believe, today. It's right here. And he would tap it on the side of his wheelchair, and then he would play it. He would tap it. If you know a tuning fork, it plays a sound. Play that. You have a tuning fork, it's like 528.8, whatever it is, I think. What is it, 523, I think is where it's at, megahertz or whatever it is. And this is what the man would say. That's middle C. It was middle C yesterday, and it will be middle C tomorrow, and it will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat, the piano across the hall is out of tune, but my friend, that is middle C. See, that old man knew that there was one thing he could depend upon, and that was the tuning fork. Our tuning to the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not change. No matter what, it's like that tuning fork that if you wrap that tuning fork, hit it again. See, it changes. We have electronics. That's middle C. It's going to be middle C. We need to be tuned to the Lord. Why do we need to be tuned to the Lord, and why do we need to trust in this constant is the rest of the passage here. Here's what this author is saying. Don't be led away by diverse and strange teaching. We have to be grounded in God's word. Do you know God's word, or do you get by well enough to dabble with the word? It's a challenge for me, and it's a challenge for all of us. How well do you know God's word? When somebody comes to you and says, well, I don't know that's true, you can say, no, it is true. And let me point out to you how it is true. Many of us would say, well, Pastor Steve, please help us because you know the Bible better than I do. Each of us need to know God's word. We need to be grounded so we're not led away by diverse and strange teaching. Now, many of us would say, well, I'm never going to be led astray. But I have been alive long enough, and I have had several colleagues of mine that then they come up with some weird, fanatical, diverse teaching that you just sit there and say, where are you at? That's not real. That's not what the Bible says. We need to be so in the word to avoid straying. That's why I think small groups and Sunday schools and Bible study of some kind is good for us to sit, because right now I'm just talking to you. And when you sit and you start talking about these things, well, is this what I need to know? We need to be grounded in grace, it says. Don't take advantage of grace, but know his grace. It is by grace that you have been saved, not through works, lest any man should boast. Now, in this passage here, we're a little unsure of what's happening here exactly, but apparently food was becoming an issue of some kind. And if you remember in the Old Testament, food was kind of a big deal. Here's one of the verses. Whatever parts the hoof and is cloven-footed and chews the cud among the animals you may eat. Nevertheless, among those that chew the cud or part the hoof, you shall not eat these. The camel, because it chews the cud, but does not the hoof, is unclean to you. And it goes on to talk about the rock badger and some other animals, the hare and some other animals. And the author's saying, don't get caught up in this. And sometimes we do that in the church. We get caught up in these little food things when we should be focusing on the Lord who is the same. He goes on to say this, we are made holy through his blood. The animal had to be sacrificed outside the camp. Jesus was led outside of Jerusalem to be crucified. And because of his blood, we are made holy. His sacrifice sanctifies you and I. And then we get to enter into that city. But we seek the city that is to come. We get to enter in the city. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Mount Zion. Mount Zion's not mentioned here, but the author talks of the city to come. The one that is coming because heaven is a place made by God who never changes for you and for I. And then it says this, do good. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Who are you doing good for and to this Christmas season? Have you already started that? If you haven't, find someone to do good for. Thomas Chisholm wrote a poem in 1923. He wrote about God's faithfulness over his life. He sent the song to a guy by the name of William Runyon in Kansas, and Runyon set the poem to music, and it was published that same year. And here's one of the verses of that song. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. The chorus is, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I believe this. You have in your life changes. The Wessel family is going to have a change in their life. Some of you have had changes in your life in recent days of a loved one passing. Some of you have been given some kind of a physical health diagnosis, or you know of someone where that just changes things. Several of you have kids. They change. And when they change us. Several of you have some financial challenges, financial things that you weren't expecting, and all of a sudden it's changed, whether for the good or for the not so good. Maybe for you, a place of residence is changing, or you've had a family member change a residence. That's tough. I'm going to pray in just a couple of moments. I'm going to have you stand in just a couple of moments. I want to pray for you, because I want you to hold on to the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I hope that you can just grab a hold of that today, because I believe that there are some of you who are just right in the midst of that, and you're like, what's happening here? And that is a wonderful thing, because then we can go back in Hebrews. It says this, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for each of you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to allow for you an opportunity to say that it's me today, Pastor Steve. There's something changing in your life, and you'd just like the Lord to see your hand as well as me as your pastor. And feel free to raise up your hand anytime and say, I have a mighty change, and I just need to be reminded, or I need to be instructed that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, and he will not leave me. He will never, never, never leave me. So if that's you, just raise your hand up and down and say, yes, that's me today, Pastor Steve. Lord Jesus, praise your holy name, that you were and are and is to come. It's what the word says. I praise your name that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray that you would be with those individuals that have raised their hands and have said, yes, it's me. And I pray that they would just tap into you. And even in the moments where they sit down and cry for a little bit because they're sad about something, I pray that you would just remind them that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that they would walk out of this room today knowing that you are God and that you love them so much and that there is a plan and that they can tie into you. Lord Jesus, there's a number of people who didn't raise their hand, and there's a couple of those individuals, I believe, that even this week there'll be something in their life that changes, that they will be reminded of this to say yes to you despite the change that is there. And I pray that nothing would move them from that, and they would continue to trust in you as the rock of our salvation and the hope of our eternal life. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you for your constant in our life. May we continue to trust in you as the unchanging God that you are. Give us a wonderful week. Give us a wonderful day. And I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray over each person here, whether they fly somewhere, they drive somewhere, they walk somewhere, they sit somewhere. Lord Jesus, I just pray that these, your people, would go out and be representatives of yours, and they would not fear anything because you are unchanging in their lives. May we follow after you. We love you, and I pray that you would protect each person here today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.